You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
It's your man Chris, and welcome to another episode of the Black is Bright. In this particular episode, we get into the issues of color. This is kind of based off the Light Girls documentary that popped up, as well as some other things. Discuss things about identity issues with color, being biracial, the plights of light skin versus dark skin. Just touching all over the place with that. So just want to give an intro with that. Yeah, myself, KC, Darius, Toria, the other Chris, Tash, Jamie. Just a real good roundtable discussion, as you come to expect from us at the Black Is Break. We'd love for you guys to take a moment to leave us some comments and feedback on iTunes, on Stitcher. We'd love a 5-star kind. Let us know what you guys think. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Black Is Online, on our Facebook page at Black Is Magazine. You can also listen to this show on iTunes and Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio and SoundCloud as well. I'm trying to cover all the bases for y'all. And you can always find us at www.blackisonline.com. Enjoy the show.
I think sometimes we get hypersensitive when someone is light skinned or talks a certain way.
Well,
I think too, because if you look at the documentary Light Skin, they kind of portray themselves, at least the women that were on this show, as like victims of being light skinned. Like light skin was like
or biracial or something. Like I have a sister who's biracial. She's black. Like, and she won't even call herself mixed. Like, to call herself mixed, okay. She'd be like, I guess.
I have different spins on that.
And, but that's just
we're recording.
But that's just her experience.
That's hard, though.
Let's hear it. Okay, so.
Because I'm biracial, and that shit is hard.
Okay.
It's growing up, it was hard, man.
I have a brother who gets accused of being biracial all the time, man. And people be like, oh, are you mixed? And he'd be like, nope. Like, you know, like, but he don't make an issue out of it. But I think that sometimes black folk, we've been burnt.
Very unforgiving.
We've been burnt. And so we are always looking and wary to see where someone's coming from, if they really understand the experience, if they have the right to tease or to make commentary about blackness. And I understand that. Sometimes we can be a little too defensive and we can start throwing people under the bus simply because they don't fit our particular shit. Like for me, if someone doesn't have enough, chitlin juice, but sometimes I'll throw people under the bus if they don't have enough Pan-African mindset and they can't see themselves in Africans. But I know because tribally I'm African American, that a lot of African Americans don't get down with Africans.
Yeah,
and so for
Africans don't get down with African Americans.
But see, in that view right there, is exactly what a lot of African Americans think and how they rationalize they view of not getting down with Africans. But
I'm just saying.
I know, and so I think we find all these reasons to divide ourselves, and it annoys me.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You have a point about us being really defensive and sensitive, and looking. I think we're trying to figure out are people criticizing us?
Right.
Are they laughing at us? Or are they trying to just have a, or do they really understand?
Are they loving us?
When you say people, who are you?
So, like, for instance, if we're talking about somebody like Key and Peele, because mm-hmm. I popped in on a conversation that was happening on Facebook about a brother podcaster that was having a conversation where he doesn't really care for Key and Peele. And there was a comment about them laughing at us. And what occurred to me is my response to Key and Peele in the sense that I recognize they're both black men who have just had what is not a stereotypical black experience. You know, one grew up like rich on the Upper East Side and the other one was adopted by a family in Detroit. So
Black family, a white family?
That I'm not sure of.
Which one was adopted?
Keegan.
The Detroit, the skinny one.
Bald one. Yeah, Keegan. But to me, you're going to have a black experience if you're perceived as black. And to me, looking at both those men, I see two black men, even though they can play around with their looks when you deal with makeup and wigs, but you see two black men. So somebody has responded to them as black men. And for me, that's enough. You know what I mean? So I'm not offended by their comedy and nor do I think that they're making jokes on black people at our expense. Besides, they make jokes on as many different races as they can pretend to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's another example in that line. Mm-hmm. Tracee Ellis Ross has taken to Instagram and her YouTube and her webpage to to decoding rap lyrics. So she'll do like No Flex Zone and Ray Schmurder when it comes out, and she'll rap. Uh-oh. And she'll it's be hilarious. Reading from her phone, and she'll like, I don't know these lyrics, but for Ray Schmurder, she'll be like, yeah, 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 and like flowing with it. And she'll like, okay, so this line means this, and this line means that. People on Instagram go in, like, how come you mixed girls always trying to make fun of black folks? And it's like, she's not making fun at all. Yeah. If anything, it's a generational thing. Like, yo, this is, I don't know what these kids are up to.
Right.
But she, in no way is she like trying to shit on the folk. Yeah. Yeah. And she is black. Like,
she's more black than Halle Berry.
Whoa. That's true. They're both mixed. They're both, and one of them got a black mama and the other one don't. That's another
thing. Yeah. And look, you already know. Well, I probably shouldn't
say that. What about Minnie Riperton's daughter? Who's
yeah, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess
she's
hilarious. If we were coding blackness, though, I would put Tracee Ellis Ross black card a little darker than Maya Rudolph. And that's even wrong for me to do. That's how we divide each other. You see what I'm saying? Like, no, Maya Rudolph can't pass.
I think she can.
She can.
I think she can.
Can pass?
She, yes, not, I think not, she can. Maybe not necessarily as white, but as something not
as
black.
As questionable. As questionable. Yeah. I
agree. Tracee Ellis Ross can pass as Egyptian or something. Like,
no,
she, as Middle
can't,
Eastern.
No, she can't.
Because of that ass.
Look. She got that butt on her dog.
Seen her ass?
No, she can't.
Have you seen Tracy's ass?
She don't that's got no up top, but she got down low. Yeah, yeah,
she say black.
No, I just, but even the fact that we're comparing like Halle Berry, who people forget is mixed, Halle Berry, Tracee Ellis Ross.
She pretty much did an O.J. Simpson on us, man. You know,
Jasmine Guy.
Is Jasmine Guy mixed?
Yes. From the way she aged, hell yeah.
No.
I said it.
Hey. Booyah. Jasmine who?
Jasmine got, yeah.
Was she really Whitley? It's like, she is not cute anymore. I'm sorry. Prune face? Oh my God. She's not cute.
But see, now we're really focused in on complexions. Which is making me think of that light skinned girls or light girls documentary. Did you guys catch that last week?
On Oprah.
Okay.
It wasn't last week. It's been
or the week before. Maybe
it's been
2 weeks.
Almost a month since it initially aired.
Really?
The original?
Because the
they did Kanye
West's girlfriend was on there too.
Yeah.
Oh, Amber Rose.
Yeah. I mean.
They
had
was
a lot of people weighing in. That was.
Yeah. It was a very interesting.
Because they did dark skinned girls first.
Yes.
I didn't see that. I saw the light girls because. Man, my daughters, you know, it's like one of my daughters, you can't tell what she is, and I don't know. She has absolutely no blackness in terms of perspective. Mm. She's been surrounded by non-black people, and I love her. She's my child. But it's like, you know, when you come to the realization, baby, of who you are and what you are, is it going to be?
How old is she?
She's eight. You know, and is it going to be too? Oh, no, no. We tried.
This is what black is.
She's like, my father was telling her, yeah, Devin, you know, somebody got shot up there on 93rd and Western and so and so. So she came to me after that and she's like, Daddy-o scared me when he told me that. I don't think I want to go over his house anymore because people are getting shot and killed. And I'm yeah, but this was realish, you know, and I was just like, this is how I grew up, baby. You know, the ghetto bird, you know what I mean? It's like, but
it ain't supposed to be how you grew up, the way your kids grow up. You
know? No, I get it. I'm not trying to have her mimic that experience. Yeah, no, but my concern is that once she comes to the realization that this is what she comes from and this is what she is, because she's totally oblivious.
Right.
You know, is it going to be too daunting for her to even accept? You know, and then you start wondering, is the emotional weight of this going to be too much for her? You know.
But, I mean, blackness is not just living in the hood. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's going to find some other black kids who feel the same way about her.
Hopefully. And Irvine is questionable.
She's going to get a check one day. Something probably going
to
happen.
Well, and that's my concern. Is it going to be too much
for her?
I don't question whether or not it's going to happen. My concern is that is how it's going to happen and how she's going to react to it.
I think maybe you might have to, like, you know, just rap to her.
I try to, man. I try to. It's going to come. It's like
you, believe it or not, man, kids be remembering stuff when you talk to them at times like that, and they remember your knowledge and wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And they take it, and then it's like they actually use it, you know what I'm saying, at that time.
I hope so, bro.
Yeah, I think she'd be all right. I hope so, man.
The thing is, though, it even goes beyond the aesthetic, because I'm sitting here thinking about a girlfriend of mine who is mixed race, and I always tell her she's special in the sense that she has a very idyllic mindset about interracial relationships and mixed race people. She's one of those people. I have to love her because sometimes it would annoy me when we were younger. Whenever she sees somebody that appears to be mixed, so be it they have light eyes or soft textured hair, she'll ask, "Are you mixed?" with so much excitement. And if they are, she's just like, "Yay, being mixed is so great." And I would tell her, I said, "The only reason you feel that way is because you have parents who are not Americans. So you have a black parent from one place and a white parent from another place, but neither one of them are Americans. So your experience does not have the whole issue of slavery at its base in regards to interracial relationships." Exactly. So I said, everybody's mixed race experience is not as great as yours. So everybody can't respond or reciprocate your excitement about being mixed race. But because she's had that experience and she comes from a large family, she has a son who, by nature of being her child, is mixed race because he has a mixed race parent and one not mixed race parent. But she said for a time, she sent him to a school, and he's clearly a black boy. She sent him to a school that was predominantly black. And she said he was just not comfortable. He couldn't fit in. He's more.
What did he experience prior to that, though? That kind
going
of
to a school that was more racially diverse, and he's kind of like the sort of skater, nerdy, artsy kid, skinny jeans.
So he was an object of ridicule when he went to this other school.
He couldn't get in. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't. He wasn't cool there, and he couldn't get in with a clique. So she ended up putting him back into a different school that had more diversity.
What was the purpose in her trying to, for him to have an experience? Or?
Maybe.
You're talking. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put my child in that predicament for them to have an experience. You know, it's like
I would only do it from the gate. Like it would need to be their very first. Experience.
I would put my kid in the best school, period. I mean, so yeah, if it happened to be at a school that was predominantly black,
that's different.
I would tell my kid, like, yo, this school is better than the other school you were at. So you're going to have to try to get in where you fit in. Like, you're going to have to make something happen.
That doesn't sound like what you were talking about.
No, I think she was trying to because he went to middle school, and I think she was trying
to
in making that change. Say, well, let me put him around, yeah, and let him have a different experience. And it just it wasn't one that was comfortable, and so she ended up putting it because it's funny. She and I had this conversation because we were talking about how Chris and I chose the school we chose for Eli, which is predominantly black, but a high achieving school with a large amount of black students. And we went through, I mean, we had several conversations about where he was going to go, and he had options of going there, going to a school on the west side that was much more diverse. And we ultimately chose that school because we wanted him to be around black children who are achieving now, so that if he does end up being somewhere where he's one of few, he doesn't feel like, oh, somehow I'm an anomaly or different because I'm black and I'm doing well. He'll know, no, nah, I've been around tons of black kids that do well. It just so happens.
That's hard to find here in L.A.
Yeah. And so we stuck with it. And they had a creative artsy side that we wanted him to be exposed to. You know, and
that Motown show. Love that.
Amazing. And, you know, and so I felt for her in that regard. But, I mean, her son, he's an L.A. kid. He's going to be all right because so many L.A. kids are accustomed to diversity. I mean, that's the kind of school we went to was diverse. And so you just learn how to get along with different types of people. But I don't know. It just brings up questions of identity and how we identify. And that documentary was really interesting. The response to it, I'm going back to Light Girls. The next day after I watched it, because I don't know when it came on the first time, but that time there seemed to be a lot of viewership and a lot of conversation that came out afterwards. And the commentary to me that was most interesting, and I got this from a light complexion person, was that light complexion people don't have a plight. Therefore, what was the point of this documentary? What was the point of trying to create a place of sympathizing with lighter complexion people? Because in the grand scheme of things, they experience more privilege based on color than they do any sort of plight.
That's not true. That's furthest thing from the truth. Yeah. And I can speak to that. I'll let you go ahead and speak.
Yeah,
to
I would just
speak as a light skinned person. Please.
Ha ha ha.
Talk about your light skinned
experience, my brother. I'm not speaking from experience, but I'm speaking from family members. Yeah, light-skinned folks do have a plight. I mean, first of all, just to cast a certain group as saying that they don't have a plight is such a overarching generalization. Your friend who made that, who was light-skinned themselves, yeah.
I'm going to
say that's just weird. My thing is it might be a plight of perceived privilege and expectations based on what you look like, but it's still a situation, you know, it's still a plight. You can't deny just because I think both documentaries are about expanding people's understanding of what others go through. And not that I personally can feel sympathy for being, you know, for like a woe is me story to being light skinned, because I'm considered light skinned. I've never had a woe is me mentality about it. And I know people who are dark skinned who've never had a woe is me mentality about it. And I wish the dark skinned documentary had really delved, especially from beautiful black women who have not a single issue with being dark, and they appreciate it. And then for them, I would have liked to have seen that. But
you know what was interesting to me? Like, some of the women that were claiming to be light skinned, I didn't necessarily consider light skinned. You know, so like there were.
Well, and once again, and it's all about perception, Tori. Right? You know,
exactly.
It depends on where you are in America.
Yeah,
you know?
I couldn't say, you know, they didn't have a hard time on the playground like they were claiming. Like Kim Whitley was on there.
She actually gave one of the most.
Yeah, and she talked about her mom being light, and that she thinks she acted so black.
Made you, it didn't traumatize me, but it really made me think about. Yeah, well, know, like, wow.
Yeah, and I was shocked to see there were a couple of folks on there that I was just very shocked.
Wait, so my question, and I've always had this bias: why don't you think Kim Whitley's light skin?
Well, because my definition of light skin is almost like pale, real, real light. Like I wouldn't even consider you light skin.
Okay, good. When I went to Atlanta, at 17, I discovered I was yellow, and I was like, "What? What are you talking about?"
And I guess it just depends on where you are.
Yeah, it does depend on where you are.
I look at Darius. I was like, "Oh, he's light skinned."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But then I would look at
But from my perspective, Tash is like too, or at least red. You know,
red bone. But that's different from light skin.
But here's my thing. I think that people. I find from my experience, and if I have a woe is me thing, it would be this, that people, depending on how you talk, and if you talk really hood, like Kim Whitley has a down home hood, folk, whatchamacallit. And so they afford her a certain vibration and they don't see just how light she is. But Kim Whitley and me are about the same complexion. And I think that when someone speaks kind of like I do, kind of like, you know, just not as obviously black, for lack of a better term, I don't know. all the things that are signatures of black
English.
That's
not the right way to say it. No, I'm just kidding.
Here's my question.
They hate us because they hate us.
With us, is there like a gray area with this? Because I feel like I'm in the middle, but I don't feel like watching this stuff as I get older, black people don't seem like they either there is one or they don't want a middle. It's either like you light or you dark.
That's true.
What about the people who are in between? Right. Because I personally I haven't gotten either end to me. I've never heard anybody like, oh, you light.
No.
You know, Kim jokes about it a lot, but I've never, like, my mama's light. You know, but I have, you know, my father's dark skin.
Your father was not dark skin, boy. He was
opposite end of where my mom is, she's a lot of people. But her father's dark skin.
Yeah.
You know, my father's mother is dark skin. Yeah. So I've seen it. Being like, all right, well, I guess it just be skipping. Like,
but you know, interestingly enough, Tash, one of the things that Kim Whitley said is that she. And she, it seemed like she realized this during the course of the interview, was that maybe over time she has overcompensated for being light skinned by trying to appear to be hood, you know. And she was like, well, maybe part of what I've done all these years is because I've been trying to assimilate and trying to adapt and try to be one of the people that people want me to be. You know, but I mean, I can tell you one thing. When we moved here from Ann Arbor, Michigan in 1978, it seems like as soon as I got off the plane, white boy, yellow, pale nigga. And I learned how to fight because, I was like, you know, I was like scrapping every day because your mama's white, you know, and your mama jokes were like, those were unacceptable back. No, my mother is of mixed heritage, but if you looked at her, you would not believe that she was black. Even the neighbors, when we moved into our neighborhood on 91st and Harbaugh, they were like, Mr. Gray married to a white woman, you know, and my mama wasn't white, you know. And I mean, but when you talk about my lineage, I mean, my grandmother, she had first cousins who decided that they were going to pass. She showed up to school one day for her first cousins to tell her, we can't talk to you anymore. Mama told us that we're white, and you know, and then seriously though, and then my great grandmother, you mean, her death to this date is questionable suicide because she was trying to pass for something that she wasn't, and then she got pregnant by a black man without being married, you know. And so to say we don't have a plight is like, it's insulting, because when you're searching for identity, you know, I mean, your plight may not have been determined, but you are definitely trying to figure out who you are and what you are, you know. And when you're placed in a setting where you can neither, and Chris just mentioned this, the middle ground, you know, it's like the middle ground is actually the light-skinned person, a light complexion person, because you have black and you have white. And then you're
stretching, brother. The middle.
No. Because when you, I'm just saying, historically, not now. I don't feel this way. I'm not a finger pointer. I'm not an excuse maker. I'm not like, oh, God. Like you said, I'm not a woe is me person. But what I'm saying, historically, when one can't identify with, you know, if your mother were white and your father was black, or your father was black and your mother were white, and you can't say you're either, you're in between,
right,
then what does your identity end up being?
Black. Pretty much.
I'm not talking about the octoroon, the 1/8 rule. I'm not talking about what society says. I'm talking about who you are for yourself. Right. How do you decide what I'm going to be? Not.
It depends on the time when you grew up.
It's almost like how you grew up.
Yeah.
Or who you grew up with.
Who you grew up with. And I have a niece and nephew who are you know, directly biracial. And honestly, they don't have to choose black or white. I mean, if they were to choose one, I would say they would consider themselves all American, standard American kids. And you can do that in a place like LA and Studio City, where, you know, where no one is going to like question you or challenge you and say, you got to be one or the other. You know what I mean? Like, because to fit in, they can just be kind of all American. But, you know, if they grew up somewhere else, or even somewhere else within LA, they might have had to make a stark decision about who they are. And that decision almost always leans toward being black, because some things you just can't hide.
Now, mind you, the situations we're talking about are dealing specifically with people who are interracial. What about those people that are black, not mixed at all, but just appear more white? They're just fair.
There's no such thing, Kim.
There is that such thing.
Unless you're a victim of albinism. No. Trust me. There's nobody who's light who doesn't have an ounce of black in them. I mean, an ounce of white in them. You might not be.
But that doesn't make them biracial.
Yeah, biracial. I'm not biracial.
It can be generations.
Yeah, I'm not biracial, but
it can be generations.
You know, all my life, what are you? Motherfucker, what the fuck do you mean? What am I? I'm a human being, you know? And but, people think it's cute. You know,
no,
you make, I got me a light skin, man.
Right. And I get that. I'm saying, though, like...
You and I'll be sure. The bar.
when we're talking about having the issues of identity, it's obvious when you have one parent of one race and a parent of another race for there to be conflict. But if you have two parents that look like you, but they're both identifying as black, for some people, they have a question. Why do I look the way I look? Why do people respond to me the way that they do?
My point that I've been getting at is that I've experienced more racism from black people than I have ever experienced from non-black people.
So I think that therein lies the issue.
Racism colorism?
I don't care what you call it. Because when they don't know what it is, if someone questions your race or your ethnicity, and no matter what you tell them, there's still a question in their head, then that's racism. Because they perceive you to be something other than what you are.
But wait, no. I mean, explain to me how it's like racism. How you're oppressed because, or just explain it to me. I mean, even the confusion, I get that.
Because you got a squab every time. Every time you come outside and you go around because you light skin.
Well,
it
doesn't always have to be in a negative aspect. I for one, realize the privilege of being light complexion, and I have experienced it. You know, when people can't tell, sometimes I get the benefit of the doubt. Where my father
in the workplace, I could totally see it in the workplace.
Yeah, where my father, who totally is my blood relative, might tell me, you know what? I went to the liquor store and I asked the lady what her name was, and she looked at me and snarled at me. Oh, Sue, I know her. I'm good friends with her. And I'm like, does she even know that this is my father? No, you know. And so I'm not just talking about negative tones of racism. I'm talking about getting the benefit of the doubt because I'm light complexion.
And I think that was the point the person who brought the argument to the table was trying to make, in the sense that I guess the privilege part of it needed to be established first. And because for her, here are the differences. What you said about experiencing oppression or negative reactions from your own people, as where if we're talking about that dark girls documentary, you're getting it from your own people, but you're getting it more from people outside of your race than people within your race. Because what I did hear from the, mind you, I missed a portion of the documentary, but the part that I heard, you had a lot of women complaining about, oh yeah, when I was on the schoolyard, people would pick on me because I was light and I had long hair and wanting to cut my ponytails and all that kind of stuff, which honestly, to me, that's just jealousy. That's envy. That's envy because you have something that I know other people find beautiful and I don't have it. Mm-hmm. And so there, that's that to me, that's the kind of experience you're saying you've gotten from your own people, black people being mad at you mm-hmm. for being lighter than they are, because for them, lighter means better, more acceptable.
I've gotten both, though.
Yeah.
Okay, from both ends.
I've gotten it from both ends.
And like I said, I think both sides definitely have a plight. I'm somebody like Chris. I feel like I'm in the middle, so I haven't experienced it on either end of right. the spectrum, but I've seen people on both ends of the spectrum.
I'll tell you how deep this shit is. I have a grandmother who paid particular attention to my sister and myself because we were the lightest of the grandchildren.
Oh, we've had that exchange.
Yeah, and so... You know, this is not something that's limited to negative experience right. because when we were experiencing, we were just like, oh, we just grandmother's
favorite. And
that's
the piece that Amber Rose spoke to, right? She spoke to like being Creole, you know, and it was a privilege to be a Creole yellow girl, right? Like she got props, you know, in the family, you're pretty, you know, you're lighter than the brown skin. I mean, lighter than the brown paper bag, you're pretty. But going back to... speaking of how you get it within your own race, I have a friend who grew up in the foster care system, and she was light. And she completely attributes it to the black girls wanted to fight me all day, every day, because I was the light-skinned girl with the long hair. So I was squabbing all the time, you know. And every incident, when she talks about the black girls, it was, you know, like the darker-skinned girl who came immediately after her, because for some reason, like, while light is perceived as beautiful, I can say in the hood it's also kind of perceived as like weak, she's gonna be soft, right? So I'll test her,
or a threat when it comes to men.
It comes to men, a threat, but when it comes to like get down, she ain't gonna squab, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we gonna get her, you know.
Wrong card.
But like you said, you learned to fight. You immediately learned to fight because that was that notion that was out there.
But it, you know? Isn't it true that the... I mean, I didn't see the dark girls documentary, but isn't it true that the dark girls get the racism hard? The thing that hurts, well, that stings the most for the dark girls is the racism from within the race, too?
Yeah.
It's from the, like...
But for them, it was more about, you're them. Not pretty.
You so black, you purple, you not pretty.
Right, right.
But it wasn't like... For them, what I got from them,
because they both sides experience racism from their white people. Folks outside.
But
especially when it's recognizable. If you're passing in light, then it's not recognizable.
For dark skinned girls, they were, from what I got from dark skinned girls, these women felt unpretty and unaccepted because they were too dark.
Yeah.
And then the other ones were unaccepted. You're not black. You think you're all that. Like light skin. It was like, because you're light skin, you were automatically perceived to be, you know.
I feel had a lot of different variations or color.
Yeah, it did.
And in my opinion, and I'm just going to put it out there, a lot of times the dark skin girls are trying to fit into a light skin paradigm of beauty. So they're like, you know, trying to press their hair or something, like where they'd be prettier if they just wore their hair natural and Lupita'd it out and like just showed their skin and whatchamacallit. And then just, I feel as if like, and so then they have
assuming though that all dark complexion women have like the same grade texture of hair and the same.
And sometimes
that's true, but
it's variety.
Just didn't
like,
think
what
they
if
had enough people who were bigging up the how dope it is to be dark.
Okay, see, well then here this
because you could be a pretty. I know too many like pretty women who know they're dark and be like, yo, I milk it. And in fact, they even say that white people, that they're like, yeah, because of my look, that white men hit on me
they're
a lot more.
They're exoticized. But I'm going to tell you, the part of that documentary, the light girls documentary, for me, that was the most painful to watch, was when they were sitting and talking to the brethren. Mm. When you heard how this particular group of black men perceived women based on color. And color alone, it was very painful to hear. It basically boiled down to light-skinned woman equals trophy. Dark-skinned woman equals put up with more shit. Right. That's what it came down to. A dark complexion woman, I could, not that I could get away with more, but she's more supportive.
She'll
hang through there with me. Light skinned woman, you know, she gonna be quick to move on. Like the one comedian talent. If I take a light skinned woman to the movies, I'm buying the popcorn and everything. I got to go in line and get it. If I go with a dark skinned woman, she, baby, I got you. Just give me the money. I'll go get in the line. I'll go take care of it. And I'll go hold this. Like, that was their perception.
And that wasn't a perception that they made between a pretty woman and an ugly woman.
No, it was based strictly on color. Oh. And they even had a brother who said, you know, the light skinned woman is just the trophy. It's like it, and he said
like T.I. and
Tiny. Yeah, he said if you're on a car if you're on a car lot and there's a bunch of black and gray cars and then you see a red Corvette, which one stands out? So for him, you watch some brothers though in the midst of the conversation have the realization that they had a preference when it came to color. You could tell the interviewer was asking them, well, when you date, you know, how do you choose? And, you know, well, my wife is light and the woman I was with before her was light. And yeah, I guess I do kind of lean towards light complexion women. And the one brother who said that he liked dark complexion women, his reason was they're more supportive than light complexion.
Let me say this. My father, you know, and this is crazy. And daddy, if you're listening, I love you. But he is so critical of white people and even light complexion people. But then I look at him and I'm like, but when you got ready to get married, you go and find the closest thing to white. You know, not criticizing my mother, but right. This is a reality. And, you know, over the years, I've come to the realization that in trying to identify as being black, my attraction has been toward darker women.
You see that in our community.
I know. I've experienced it. Yeah. I know. Because it's like light complexion women, it's like they remind me of my sister or my mother, and that's cool. But it's like that's not really what I want, you know. And, I mean, and you see my dating history. It's like, yeah, you know. Yeah, we doing the brown paper bag test, but it's on the other side. It's like, I mean, that's just the realism in it. And I trip out about that. And so is it really a sickness? I mean, can we call it a sickness?
It's feeling the need to compensate for something.
But a sickness is kind of extreme because I think I gotta say
when the idea that somehow being light skinned is pretty is a sickness because there's a lot of like, but I mean, let's, I don't want to talk about nobody on, but it's a lot of ugly light skinned girls who get
right
passes.
And I know who you have in mind, brother. It's like they have all the ingredients, but you can't make the cake.
Right,
yeah, that's
right.
Exactly, like, what my big mama would say. You got all the pieces of the puzzle and they don't fit.
I remember going to Morehouse. It was this one girl that like brothers used to sweat who went to Spelman. They were like, yeah, she's bad. I was like, nah, she's her face, like she's not cute. She didn't have, but she was just light. And she carried herself like she was cute. So, I mean, she had swag, so you can't knock that. But I was like, this, she ain't got already the body. Know. She ain't got the face. And it's like all the pieces of the puzzle, but they don't fit.
And that's the part of it, Darius, that is a bit of a sickness because it's, you don't actually see the person. You just see complexion.
Right.
And that was
I'm not that distorted in my view. I'm just saying.
I know it's not you, but there definitely seems to be an overarching problem that sometimes happens with a lot of brothers. And it happens on both sides. You have sisters that have preferences, you know, in the regard, I want a light skinned baby. I want a baby with good hair.
Yeah, because Iyanna Banzai said that when she was dating.
Or brothers dissing a woman who is fine, but she's just hella dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, you're tripping.
Or the famous quote,
she's bad.
You're cute to be dark.
Yeah, you're cute for a black girl.
You're a cute dark skinned girl. Like, those two can't go together.
Right, right.
That's
something that our people say. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think our generation has grown past it.
She's dark skinned, but she's cute.
Yeah.
We've come a long way, though.
We have.
After the 70s and the Black Power movement. I know. We got a huge way to go. I mean, we got a mixed president, so. But I always think about what if, not to change the subject, but what if Barack Obama was married to a white woman? He wouldn't have became president.
No.
And you think about that, that, you know, dynamic, like, wow, we are really twisted.
Or like the mayor of New York.
Did you guys?
Yeah, right. De Blasio.
De Blasio, but he's not black. That's the difference. Yeah. They are truly a biracial couple.
But Ben Carson, is Ben Carson married to a white woman?
Ben Carson, he's made some off the chain
hook statements.
Is his wife white?
He's disappointed. I would think like, so. I really had Ben Carson up here, like, you know, and I would have voted for him, at least I thought. But he said some pretty stupid shit recently. Yeah. But did you see Michelle Obama's face when they were over in Saudi Arabia this past week?
Oh, yeah, when
the
she
men
didn't,
were expecting her to wear the hijab, and she didn't.
But the past like first this. Ladies have been worn it. Yeah.
But she was a black woman to be. Right. Right. It was like, did she? And she like.
Yeah, she had that look on her face. I was like,
I don't bow down at home, so I sure ain't bowing down
and
over
Barack
here.
Barack was just like,
don't say nothing. He's like, please don't say shit to Michelle.
George Bush's wife didn't wear it.
Yeah,
so when she went over there. So why are they putting all this? This?
Yeah, but it's Michelle, a black woman. So her, she's being defiant. Yeah. She's being defiant.
No, and see, that's another.
That's how it's misperception, right? She's being defiant. Mm-hmm. And Obama's like, please don't say nothing to her ass because she already told me she
right,
wasn't wearing it.
Right. You know that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Right
she
now.
Was like, I'm not wearing it.
And it was on the plane all the way over here. Don't ask me, nigga, because I ain't.
And he was looking like, please don't raise that conversation.
Right.
Because she's already said publicly that she's not the passive one. Like, she.
Well. I wonder what he felt like when he first experienced her, because you have to realize he didn't have a black mother.
Right.
So was
his usually boss. Has an impact.
Yeah.
And she was his boss.
I mean, usually you get a taste of this shit and this is like right. It's like, nah, he didn't have a taste of it.
Yeah, usually
he was attracted immediately. Yeah. It was his boss too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.